Hello, travelers. My name is Grace Simmons, and this is the Random and Wonderful podcast. Settle in and listen to stories of wanderlust and transformation as you gain tips to inspire your next travel experience. The Random and Wonderful is brought to you by the Amethyst Palava Hut, LLC. Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Random and Wonderful. My guest today is Elaine Ainsley, and I am so excited for you all to meet her. We're going to get into a little bit about her wellness and travel, but I'm going to let Elaine introduce herself to all of you.
Hi, everyone. As stated, my name is Elaine Ainsley. I am a family medicine physician in Maryland. I love to travel. I love Jesus, and I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! There's two shout outs, one for Jesus and two for travel. I mean, and the doctor, we can't knock you being
a doctor. That's a third salute right there.
All right. So you talked about, you and I talked before, you haven't talked about how travel is like a hobby, but you enjoy the hobby. But what I like that you mentioned was being able to come up with an idea and then actually seeing it come to fruition. So what is your process? Like, how do you even plan a trip?
Great question. So yes, traveling is probably one of my favorite hobbies, if not my favorite hobby. It's definitely on the, you know, top two of the list, if there was a list. How I kind of come up with my travels is really based upon what the purpose of the travel is. Is it for leisure, business? Like, for example, right now, I'm currently in Arizona for a work trip, for a conference, the AFP FMX Family Experience Conference. So being here is a little different from my regular trips because you can kind of like plan certain things, you can figure through certain. This is more specific where it's like, it's at, you know, you need to be near a convention center, you need to be near this. It's not as fluid and flexible like my typical trips, but I usually use Expedia.com. That's just my go-to when it comes to picking my travel. I get some points, and sometimes those points help to get extra things, like maybe in the future getting a rental or upgrading on certain things. So that's usually where I kind of start. And then my process is, yeah, really just based upon leisure versus business. This one's more of a business. I don't have a leisure trip coming up anytime soon. I am traveling again next week, but that's family related, just for a wedding.
All right.
So I'm hoping in the near future I can plan a leisure trip. So the most recent one I would say was Canary Islands back in July. So that was like a fun trip, family trip. So you kind of, you have this idea of where you want to go. You figure out accommodations. You figure out the travel in terms of the flights. And then you just figure out your itinerary. And that's probably one of my favorite.
Are you like very specific in detail when it comes to all of those different pieces? So do you plan like hour by hour, or do you have like a list of things that you want to do and then kind of tick the box?
I feel like it depends on the trip.
Okay.
Like, for example, I did a Euro trip with my girlfriends from like middle school, like high school a few years ago, maybe like 2 or so years ago. And that trip was more like we planned like the tea on Monday, like, which I appreciate. Looking back, I'm like, that was a trip that now set the bar for other trips. Like if I'm ever on that level, just because it was so planned, not in the sense of like, where are you going to eat? Like food is one of those things where it's like, if you have a restaurant in mind and we're there for a couple of days, we'll figure it out. But in terms of for sure activities you want to do, you're in a certain area, in a certain city, you actually really want to experience this particular thing. We made sure to have that set out and also paid for in advance. So it was very easygoing when the trip went about, because when it on Monday morning, there's no question of, well, what are we doing? We know. Everybody knows. Itinerary was set and made versus the most recent trip to Canary Islands in Europe, and that was more of like, this is ideally what we could do throughout the time that we're really just depends on. Maybe on Tuesday we feel to do this, and then on Wednesday we feel to do that, but there is still at least an objective.
Yeah. Where did this love of travel come from?
Yes. So my parents are travelers. So when people look at me and say, man, you travel a lot, I'm like, you have not met my parents. So I think travel from them. They kind of have introduced that to me at a very, very young age. And it's one of those things I've just kind of taken along. And now it's like a part of my day to day in terms of always having a trip planned, or at least planned. Yeah. In my head, at least. Yeah.
What's like a favorite travel story that you have?
Favorite travel story. That is a good question. I'm trying to think. Favorite travel story. I would say One of my favorite travels was last January. It was a family trip to Belize, and we had America before that time. So it was nice to kind of just go somewhere new. Belize is a very unique country because although it's like Spanish speaking, there's a lot of English speaking individuals. So it's one of those places where if you don't speak Spanish, you don't have to feel uncomfortable of not being able to speak and engage with the residents of the area. So we ate the foods. We did like various activities that we did zip lining is, love zip lining. Cave tubing. That was just a fun excursion related trip. We went to, is it Key Cockner, I believe, or Cockner Key, which is like a separate island off of the main island or main country, off of Belize, basically. And that was snorkeling with the reefs and seeing the stingrays. So that to me, just in terms of like having just an activity filled trip, that one was very, very, very memorable for sure.
Did you say you went cave tubing?
Yes.
What is that?
So cave tubing is basically you're in a tube, just like when you park, you're in one of those big tubes and there's a cave. It's like, basically it's like river water that you're kind of following. The only thing I wish I knew in advance just to mentally prepare is that that water is freezing. Because you're in the cave. So when you really think about it, you're like, this is water that doesn't have access to sunlight.
Right.
Water is freezing cold, so it's kind of like an experience of like being able to go through the cave and then you're like cold and it splashes on you, and then of course some of the guys would like, you know, like splash of the water and you're like, no. Yeah, it was
no.
Just a...
please no.
I am shivering. But it was a very, yeah, that was a fun trip. That was a fun experience for sure.
Nice. Wait, was this a group trip as well, right?
Correct.
What was something, so you, as far as like the planning and knowing how to, there's like a balance, I think, even between the different group trips that you've talked about so far, where there needs to be a little bit more specific direction in what people are doing versus, all right, let's kind of space things out a bit. What are some other lessons that you've learned traveling with a group?
I have learned to make sure I'm very clear on who I'm traveling with and how they travel in that sense. It's very know how people travel in terms of, do you want to do activity? Like before any planning is out, it's a question of what do you want to do? I'm the type of person that I'm down for everything. I can chill at the beach or chill at the poolside, or I can do the craziest of excursions. So for me, I don't really have like, I always say I don't have like a vote in this. Like I don't really, it's not really something that I'm not going to, please don't come to me to try to break the, I'm be like, yeah, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Look at the group and say, what is it you guys want to do? What are things that, and then of course you do a search and then you kind of figure out, okay, collectively, is this something you're interested in? And that's just a matter of itinerary, logistics. If certain places are too far, do you want to do them earlier in the trip? If certain places are closer, do you want to do later in the trip? And then kind of out. So it's not like activity after activity after activity. Certain things it's nice to kind of have already organized in advance. So it's in terms of what to wear. I feel like that's always the biggest thing when it comes to trying to figure out, okay, should I bring a sweater? Should I bring boots? Are we going hiking? Like what exactly should I prepare for? Yeah, trip planning is really just dependent on the people that you're traveling with. I think that's the first thing to figure out. Some people in certain trips want to just relax. Some people really want to do a whole bunch of activities, and trying to find a happy medium between the two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So switching gears a little bit, I am curious about how, because something that we talked about as well is like confidence, but I want to kind of bridge that gap between, where is your foundation of confidence and how does that show up in travel or work? But what's your foundation of confidence?
These are some great questions.
I do my best.
Foundation and confidence, I would say, comes from my faith in God, knowing and believing that I'm worthy of all the things that I have and all the things that I desire. Knowing that I'm enough is like the first part of that confidence. And then just believing that, because that's easy to be like, well, you know, I serve a God that says that I'm this, and I serve a God that says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I serve a God that says that I'm the head and not the tail, you know, all of these wonderful things. But it's like, you can recite these things, but then there's also believing these things, and then there's also applying these things to your life. So I can definitely look back on certain moments, of course, of being, of knowing that I was not that confident, believe in myself. I didn't have the bold. These are things I still, I don't want to say struggle with, that I'm still growing through right now. Because in when your life changes, certain situations change, it's like you're at a different level of like, different level of confidence. I'm not
mean.
I'm in a room and I'm like just socially butterflying and just going around just talking to everybody. I'm much more the person that's like, I'm great one-on-one.
Right.
That crowd gets a little, it's like crowd, it's like, I usually tend to kind of keep to myself. So it's one of those things that I'm actively learning and trying to grow in right now.
What's an example of maybe your newfound confidence being put into action? Like maybe an instance where you were like, huh, I may have struggled with that, or I may have hesitated at that, and I've just completely, you know, stepped over what used to be a boundary for me.
Yes. Just a few days ago at the beginning of this conference, I stepped out in between the sessions, and because it's the convention center is cold. So I stepped outside to defrost. And stepping outside, I was about to go back inside to go to a different session, and I saw two ladies coming in outside to where I was. And so I had to pass by them to go to the door to go back inside. So, of course, the thing is, the thought process was like, okay, you could go inside, go to your session, you know, live your best life. Or you can just stop and see, like, do any of these ladies want to have a conversation? Because I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
I definitely try my best to, of course, put myself out there. You have to be in the room and then actively do things while you're in that room. So I'm like, let me see if like this could be an area of just being able to just have a conversation. It doesn't have to lead anywhere. It just could be like, hi, how are you doing? How's your day going? How's the conference? Yes. So, okay. One thing I'm learning is eye contact. So I'm really learning that when you're walking, because I'm typically a person that, at least let me start speaking in past tense. Before, I was a person. Walk into a room and I'm just looking general. I don't look into people's eyes. I don't look at their faces. You could be a person I've known all my life and I would never even notice you're in the room because I'm not checking. Like I'm not that observant in that regards. So recently I've been trying my best to look in the eyes. So how are you going to know if this is going to be an opportunity to speak if you're not looking? If they seem cool, okay, let's start. So long story short, I looked them in the ass and just said, hey. And then be honest, the conversation kind of kept on going. We were talking for so long that an individual actually came out for the same reason to defrost and basically said, hey, you know, they actually have lunch. So we're like, oh, we didn't realize that we were talking for like an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness. Nice.
And we went in, grabbed lunch and sat down and proceeded to continue talking. And then we're talking even more and to the point that the conference is the sessions are finished. There's no more sessions at this point. So that's a matter of perhaps we should separate and go to our separate places of accommodation. So we go outside and as I'm outside, I am hungry. And regardless of if I'm with them or not with them, I need some food. So sorry if it looks like I'm on my phone, but I'm just trying to see what food is in the area because I'm starving. And they're like, we're starving too. So then we proceeded to go out to, I don't know anybody. I'm just here to, I've been with these, like, this is from about 11 or 10:15, 10:30 is when I initially met with them and went to dinner. Didn't get back in until about 7 p.m., 7:30. So I was with these individuals for hours.
Oh, wow.
Sharing. As individuals that are also in the medical field, physicians, we're all in different like areas and spaces in terms of where we are at in our career. So it's nice to kind of talk with individuals and we're in different parts of the country. One was in Georgia, another was in Pennsylvania. So it was like interesting to get their perspectives on life and just share. So that I would say is probably experience of like putting yourself out there and just having the conversations and not being afraid to speak up.
Yeah. Has that confidence ever, well, I know this was like a business travel, but has that sort of trickled out into maybe a more leisurely trip? Not putting yourself out there, but trying things maybe that you wouldn't have done.
I feel like that happened to me on a trip maybe like two or so years ago. There was a certain part of this where I was initially with a group and then the latter parts I was by myself. So I ended up meeting this random lady just and ended up talking about a whole bunch of stuff just randomly. And then we ended up being friends on Facebook. So once in a blue moon, we'll kind of reach out to each other and say, hey, you know, how are you doing? Are you ever going to be back in the area? Because she's in Europe, I'm in the US. So we're all ever in the area, you know, let me know kind of thing. So I feel like I am definitely trying my best, especially now, more recently, to be more intentional when it comes to speaking, when it comes to networking, when it comes to just sharing the experience of life with others.
Nice. I like that. Sharing the experience of life with others. Very cool. And then when it comes to wellness and either taking care of yourself or being a bit more mindful about maybe when you're on a trip or you're doing it, like you mentioned, even though you were having a great conversation with these people, you needed to eat, right? So how often are you able to say, you know what, I need to take care of myself in this instance? How does wellness show up for you?
Wellness for me, it shows up in my nutrition and in my physical activity. So I'm a vegan. I have been since October of 2017. And the vegan journey back then is a little bit different than it is now. Like, I feel like back then it wasn't as, you know, wasn't as pronounced now. There was no oat milk. Like, that wasn't a thing back then. There wasn't all these alternatives. When I actually started being vegetarian many years before that, the only thing we had was like rice milk. We didn't even have almond milk. So it's been an interesting journey to see the transitions when it comes to the alternative options for individuals who don't consume animals or animal byproducts. So more recently, I've been a little bit more adamant to make sure that I stick to my nutritional decisions in terms of you go out to your coffee shop, they have croissants. I'm a croissant lover. And so you just order the croissant. And it's like, well, this croissant was likely, unless it literally says vegan, is likely made with those same animal byproducts that you don't consume on a regular basis. So it's like, you can't when I go out, oh, I'm just going to have this lovely pastry. But then it's like, it doesn't really align. So being very consistent with the things that I'm saying. So that's something I'm much more adamant about doing now. In terms of physical activity, I think my word right now, or a couple words that I have that's in my mind of like things that I'm really working towards, is discipline. So for physical activity, I would say, you know, I'm an active person. I work out. But then when you would look at the week, be like, so how many times do you go to the gym? So, you know, like 1.5 times, you know, I feel like.
Not the half.
The half, because, you know, you kind of just, yeah, I went there for like a couple minutes and now, you know, I'm tired. I went home. So one of those things where it's like, if you sit for an active person physically, yeah, there needs to be a level of discipline and consistency. So it can't be, well, I'm tired. I just don't feel like it today. No, if you're an active, you just have to do it. So now I'm just kind of. My regular routine. I'm a morning workout person, ideally, just because it just works better for my work schedule. When work is finished, the idea and thought of then working out after that is just not realistic. Mm-hmm. I feel like even more excuses. So usually at 6 a.m. every single morning, I'm in the gym. Just because I'm here at the conference, my timelines have been a little bit changed, just because some sessions are very early, like the session for this morning was at 7. So I was in the gym from about 5:20, 5:30. Just trying to get my physical activity on. There's a place to hike very close to where I'm staying. So one of the mornings I woke up, instead of doing the traditional going to the gym and lifting weights or whatever I decide to do for that day, I went on a hike. I do love hiking. So physical activities is one of those things I value. And it's now just become a staple when it comes to my regular routine.
Nice. Where in Arizona are you?
I'm in Tempe. So the conference is in Phoenix, but I'm in Tempe, which is probably about like 15 minutes from... I don't even know if it's even that far. Yeah, probably about 15 minutes from Phoenix.
Okay. Where you went to hike, was that like, it looked like a stairs to heaven, like a staircase to heaven, and then you...
I'm like, oh, you know, what's the closest place I can go hiking, you know? And they said, this is like, I'm, you know, a mild, you know, hiking. Yes. I'm like, ooh, this is going to get my physical activity. This is going to be great. And then I look up at this mountain. This is Phoenix. Phoenix is just dry land. So I'm looking up at this mountainous being or mountainous thing in front of me. And I'm like, who's going up there? The part that I actually went up, there wasn't any. So you're actually on an incline without any stairs. So you're just.
Oh.
And then there's the point where there are stairs and you're just going up and up and up. The gracious part and the part I love about hiking, especially when you hike to an elevation, is that view when you get to the top is so rewarding. You're looking at the city and you're like, wow, there's the airport. There's this, there's that. You can actually And then coming down is so easy. So getting up the mountain is always a challenge. Coming down is simple and straightforward. So it was a good time.
I wish I remember the name of the place. Last year, my family had a reunion in Phoenix. And so they were like, oh, this is really, really nice. Light jog, light trek up some stairs. But the view is great. And we're like, I mean, we like views, you know. So all of us got our little workout clothes on and you see the stairs and you're like, oh, okay. And you're going and they have like, there are places on the steps where people are just sitting, like trying to catch their breath. And I was like, okay, I'm pointing out all the different like stopping points because yes, but also why is it so high? But then of course, when you get up there, right, you turn around and you can see like this beautiful view of the neighborhood and all that. You're like, ah, oh, it's so beautiful. As you finally, you know, catch your breath. And then there's like another level without stairs. That's just rock. And someone gathered like their sticks and I didn't do that one. The view where I was great.
It was enough. Wild physical activity experience. That sounds low.
For you guys. For me. And I kept trying to inch towards the stairs to get back down.
What actually pushes you to keep going when it's like, this is very challenging? And
yeah, I think at the base is going back to the faith. I think there is an initial drive in me that when something is difficult, I want to figure it out. I want to push through. I will find the answer. And I think I have been humbled to remember to like calm down and pray. And I notice that when I make sure my like spiritual wellness and my emotional wellness are balanced, there's some clarity even when the situation's really difficult. An example of that is a couple months ago, things were going like I had a plan, but things are getting really difficult. And I honestly was like, I don't know what I'm trying to. You ever seen somebody shuffle cards and they don't shuffle well and the cards just go, okay, that's what it felt like for a few months. And then I think just coming back to, all right, what can I control? Nothing. What can I do instead? I can read my Bible and I can reach out to people who are maybe doing something similar or they know what I'm talking about. And then just asking for help. So reminding myself that when things are difficult, it's beyond me and I need to be able to just like tend to my garden. Whatever I'm doing right now, I need to make sure I focus it on, pray about it. Just when I feel distracted, I'm making sure that I'm reading my Bible and then asking people for help instead of banging my head against the wall trying to figure something out on my own.
Okay. That's good. And then for you, what does vision and purpose mean for you?
Vision in my mind has been that end goal or like something that I hope to happen. Mm-hmm. And so with this podcast and with my business, I hope that, you know, I can bridge a gap for more people who are interested in travel, but they're not sure. And people who feel so disconnected from being bold and confident. And I want this to be just like a way for them to figure out how to do that, right? To me, I think that's how I've linked my vision to what I'm hoping could be. And then my purpose, I think it's just the good that I can do. So what I can do to help other people, what I can do to sharing my own experience, being honest about what I've struggled with and sharing that with other people, I think is That's been my purpose, is if I can bring other people with me and say, hey, look, I know it looks really bad, but this is what it could be. Or, you know, this is what others have done. And here's what you can do to help yourself. Or, yeah, I think that to me is my purpose, bringing other people along despite what they're going through.
That's beautiful. Okay. Last and final question.
All right.
How are you cultivating a life with confidence and boldness without being perceived as arrogant and or cocky.
Hmm.
And the reason I asked the question, I'll give you a moment to kind of
okay
answer. The reason I asked this question is during a therapy session, I'm going to say sometime within last year, these are topics that I would be going back and forth with my therapist about in terms of humility versus like arrogance. Mm-hmm. Just because it's for me personally, I'm typically on the humility side. Very rarely am I like, well, this is what I do and this is all the things. Here are all my accolades and things that I've accomplished. It's more so you're going to have to like really consistently ask questions for me to
right.
Totally reveal anything, just because I don't see those things as something that, it's not that it's not important. It's not that obviously I worked hard to get where I am, but it's just mm-hmm. that it's, I don't want it to ever be perceived that it was me. Like by myself, like I just woke up one day and just thought, and just it just came to fruition. Like there was a process, there was a journey, and by God's grace, I am where I am. So mm-hmm. I was just, what your thoughts are when it comes to the borderline or that fine line between being confident and bold, but then making sure that it doesn't come across as like arrogance.
I think that is, it's internally driven. So I can be really confident. I think confidence is just like time and experience. And so if you're able to be confident in what you have and what you're able to do, when it comes to actually sharing what it is that you've done and giving full credit to it, that can also come off as like a praise to God. So God gave me this talent to do this, and this is what I've been able to do with it. Or I, you know, came up with this really great idea. I don't know where it came from. Mm-hmm. I know it came from God, right? But so I think keeping that in mind, and maybe it's something that maybe I would need to say more often, but my assumption isn't that I know that it's only from me. And I think that's how I've been able to pull myself back. And I do struggle with that. Sometimes I want to be that the humble person. But I'm also very driven to speak out against certain things. And so for me, I was trying to make sure that if I am saying something, it's not because I want to make myself feel better. It's because it's right. And I think that's been like that grounding question for me was, is it really necessary for you to say this right now? Or is it really necessary for you to have that reaction? And if it isn't, then I need to ask why I'm having that reaction. But if it is, then that's a part of that, you know, that's who I am. And if I'm standing up for someone or I'm speaking out against something that I think shouldn't be the case, I don't think that it would be arrogant because it's coming from a place of like justice and empathy versus me trying to make myself sound better or cocky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice perspective. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question.
Yeah. I love the switch of an interview.
Yes, no, I'm joking.
Right. And so this is my co-host. So, oh, I had another question about your, did I ask you about your self-care already? I don't think I did.
No.
What is a self-care practice that you use when you're traveling?
Self-care practice that I use when I am traveling. I would say, well, one thing I love food.
Okay.
Food or friends. So I feel like whenever I'm traveling, I really try my best to go out of the box. I try my best to try new foods, That makes me very happy. Having my belly full is a joy. So that's definitely one. Definitely making sure I set aside time, no matter what type of traveling I'm doing, to just dwell and be by myself, like time of rest. Rest for me doesn't mean I'm sleeping. Rest for me mean that I'm necessarily in the bed. Rest could be that I'm just working on something that's completely different from what I'm here for. Like, for example, if this is a leisure trip, sometimes it's fun to look at work-related things. But it's not like work. Like for me, work is medicine. So maybe it's like I'm reading something about a topic that I was just interested in, wanted to learn more. Or even right now, I'm trying my best to be more intentional about reading. I say, oh yeah, I read books. But then it's like when people ask me, so what book are you reading? You're like, other than the Bible, it's nothing much. So
all right.
Right now I'm reading rereading, because I started it like probably like a year ago, and now I'm really reading it this time, Atomic Habits by James Clear. When it comes to like breaking those habits, being very clear on like your objectives. The two words I would say that define my life right now is like discipline, on like if you being very clear and very intentional. So I'm trying my best to remove the words like try out of my vocabulary. So instead of saying like, I'm going to try and be more active, it's like, no, I'm going to be more active. So you're just going to put it into your regular schedule, make it something that's not something you have to think about. I don't have to put out my workout clothes in the morning to know that I'm going to, like, you know that this is what you do every morning, kind of.
Right.
And another thing for me right now is like pivoting. Being in a new space career-wise is giving me the opportunity to really look around and say there's more that I could do with my 24 hours. So being mindful of making sure that you appropriate your time as best as you can. Everybody has 24 hours, to make sure that you make the best of the time that you have.
Nice. How do you feel your culture has influenced the way you interact or think about your relationship with other people?
My culture is very important. I'm Jamaican, so I was born in Jamaica. I lived there two separate times in my life, in my earlier years, the first couple of years of my life, and then I moved back in my early 20s. Completely two different perspectives. So that level of culture in terms of music, in terms of food, it definitely shapes the way that I approach life. Jamaica, usually like, we're very hospitable. If anybody ever visits Jamaica, there's always a joy that they have, just because we just accept people. We just take people and we're like, join us. And then we like throw our culture in. This is our food. Like, food is definitely, I think I get my foodiness just culturally, just because our food is pretty delicious. Jerk stuff. We got jerk chicken and jerk pork. And we have, I don't think we're the kings and queens of curry, but I still think our curry goat is good. One thing I love to eat is stewed peas. We have oxtail, patty. Like, it's a good time. So definitely I feel like culturally, just because you know that this is like who you are and what you come from, it does show up when it comes to engaging with others. So I always find that individuals who are also from somewhere else, whether they're from a different part of the country or just a different country in general, I feel like we understand each other more, just because we know that there's like, this is not necessarily like home, if that makes sense. So for example, right now I call Maryland home. My home is also Jamaica. My home is also this place. My home is also that place. So I have a tendency of like really connecting very well with individuals who also have that similar background of calling like multiple places home. So I feel like it's just shaped the way that I view food, the way that I view like my music choices, and the way that I approach life.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. My parents are Liberian, and like Liberia is home, even though I haven't been there since the sixth grade. That's definitely on the travel list. And living in Maryland, yeah, it's become like, yeah, I've been here for almost 10 years. This is 100% home, right? So, but I would also, I think, if I move somewhere else, be very comfortable with calling it home, maybe within a strong year and a half. Just because if you're that type of person that can adapt and connect with people, it becomes home.
Yeah. I feel like adapting that's like my middle name. The amount of places in the past 12 years, I'm like, at this point, I'm just like, there's too many places I call home. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Florida. I've lived, of course, in Canada, Jamaica, small stints into Turks and Caicos, British Virgin Islands. I'm now in Maryland. I was also in Michigan. So for me, home is like, even when I'm talking to people like, where's I'm going home. Which one? Just because of life experiences, I'm grateful to be able to say that I call a lot of places home. And then they when you live in a place for a period of time, you take like that, you take a part of that country with you because you of all the experiences that you've learned and the culture that you allotted yourself to be a part of for a period of time. So adaptability is, I think, is a very cool kind of trait, characteristic to have.
Yeah. So what is next for you? Do you have, I know you have like another family trip, but is there another travel that you have planned or that's in the works? Maybe it's pen and paper.
So I definitely have some pen and paper. So I literally, as of today, the ladies that I met recently, they're from different parts of Africa. So I have continent of Africa. It's like the more I'm talking to people, the more I'm like, I don't know why I'm just meeting a whole bunch of Africans. And they're just like, come to our continent, come to specific our country. So I was looking up just today, like trip ideas to like Ghana, trip ideas to Senegal, trip ideas to Kenya. So that definitely is in the works. It's just a matter of when. So that's one. I would love to go back to Jamaica. I haven't been to Jamaica in several years, pre-pandemic, which is very, very bad. So it would definitely be nice to kind of go there for a period of time. So that would be nice to do sometime in the new year. But before this year, I don't think I'll be doing anything major. If I do anything, it'll be short little stints of like weekend trips, maybe to Houston, maybe a weekend trip to visit friends in like California. But I'm hopeful that 2025 will bring some fresh places. I definitely am that person that doesn't like to repeat. So if I go a place one time, I'm my best to just soak it in, enjoy, do as much as I want, because there's so much of this world to see. I don't want to just leave it and be like, well, I'll come back next year. No, next year I'm going. So I'm hopeful to see, or excited to kind of see the new places I'll experience next year.
Awesome. Correct. This is the most I've been interviewed on my podcast.
So I do have a question, because I do see you as the networking, like in my life, like networking queen. Anytime I see you, you're always like talking about this person that you met, you know, this opportunity that came about. So as an individual who would like to be better in that space of networking and talking to people, what tips and or advice would you give to a person?
All right. So thank you. Thank you for your kind words. I like to talk. Now, which is very odd because I am introverted. So if I get comfortable, then things just, you know, I'm introverted. If I'm comfortable, you can't stop me from talking. One of the things that I practiced and thought about before I went to one of my last conferences was I had gone to it before and I had gone to the sessions and I was trying really hard to be a good student, but the sessions were overwhelming. And so making sure my goal this round was networking is what I had gotten out of it. And so I went to some sessions, but I also wanted to like talk to other people and ask them questions. And even though we weren't all in the same role, I guess, as podcasters, I learned so much about other people because podcasting, it just has so many different connections, right? The people are all over, the different types of people, and they have their own ways. So being intentional about networking instead of hoping it would happen or hoping someone to reach out to me was probably the first step. And then trying to keep my story simple. So I would, when we, you know, exchange information or, you know, hey, I'm Grace, I tried really hard to keep like, I'm here for this reason. And I want to make sure that's the only reason I'm providing. If we're talking more, then I'll share a little bit more. Like I have a business, But right now, In this example, I was at a podcasting conference. I only talked about my podcast or the group that I was representing. And then that allowed for other people to talk and we would ask questions. And there, I think trying to take away that pressure of like having to know the right answer or having to have a fully fledged, like prepped answer. Person asked me a question. I just wanted to answer and then do the same for them. So being intentional about networking by keeping your story simple and then having some questions ready. So being curious about other people and just what can I learn from this situation or what can I learn from this person? And like I said earlier, being honest about, you know, if you need help with something. Some people are like, you know, let me know if you need anything. And some of them genuinely mean it. Some don't. And you'll find that out really quickly. But others genuinely do. And so when you allow yourself to be vulnerable and say, you know, hey, this is what I'm working on. I really wish I could figure out how to do this. You just see people's like eyes light up and they're like, oh my goodness, I know this person or I can help you out with that. And so since we've met, I think a lot of the connections that I've had came from that conference. But then they're like, it's been a ripple effect of people that they know who they connected me with. And then maybe as we were talking, resources that I mentioned I needed and they've, you know, sent them over to me. So keeping it simple, being curious about other people, I think has been helpful. The last thing is following up with people. Whew. Because you can collect a whole list, right? People. And for me, now going through the list, that's going to be really overwhelming. But just taking your time and just saying, okay, I can send out like 3 emails today. Or I can add these people on LinkedIn and just say, hey, or whatnot. I think following up with people, maybe if they can't help you immediately, they may be able to help you 2 to 3 months from now, maybe a year from now. You never know. So it's helpful. Also, that's why you want to keep your story simple so that people know if there is something that they can connect you with, they know exactly who you are, what your purpose is. So they can say, oh, I know this person over here. Those are my tips.
Thank you. Very, very helpful. Thank you.
All right. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for being a guest and just sharing a little bit about yourself. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey there, Grace here. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and gained some useful takeaways. Thank you so much for listening and staying until the end. Don't forget to rate the show or share it with some friends. Have a wonderful week. Take care. And remember, be bold, be curious, be ready to tell your story. You never know who needs it. Bye-bye.